Out are the lights, out all. And over each quivering form, the curtain, a funeral pall, comes down with the rush of a storm, while the angels, all pallid and wan, uprising, unveiling, affirm that the play is the tragedy, man, and its hero, the conqueror worm.
This is Podcast X. I'm Trenchcoat Mafia. With me this week will be Courtney Coombs. This is part two of our review of Hellboy Volume 5, Conqueror Worm.
At the back of this comic, I don't know if you have it, but there are sketches of his work, and it looks like a 12-year-old drew it.
Well, they're just sketches. I mean, he probably like really sweats over the finished product.
No, I mean, like, when... Because I draw myself, I know what someone's basic handwriting would look, well, not handwriting, but the style looks like when it's unfinished, and it's sort of like, what's the word? It's just, he knows how to make it stylistic instead of cheap. He colors it and shades it in this way that makes it his own style.
His inking, in particular, I'm really impressed by that, and his use of negative space. I mean, and just lighting. He's great. He is one of the best. He's A-list. Like, there's not too many guys. Okay, there were guys who were better, but not too many of them. Like, this is really great shit, and good for him for, like, not slaving away for Marvel and DC and just going off and, like, doing his own thing, which I assume has paid off for him. He must have got, like, a good chunk of change for the movies.
Could you imagine what Hellboy would have turned out like if he was in the DC or Marvel universes? They would have raped the shit out of the character, used him in all sorts of crossovers and all that, and he wouldn't have been Mignola's character anymore.
No, he'd probably be a member of Shadow Pact. He'd probably have had an affair with Satana by now. And she probably would have, like, mind-wiped him for some reason or other, and he would have teamed up with Superman, and maybe he'd even have joined the Justice League at some point. He'd have his own book, and it'd be canceled in, like, 5 issues. Yeah.
What, like, a nightmare.
I'm glad that he's not a DC character.
Because I think, yeah, that's something that appealed to me about the character, is that he belongs to the creator, everything. Mike Mignola has control over everything.
That's how it should be. I mean, seriously.
And then nowadays, the comics are being done by other people, and they're not bad. It just doesn't feel the same.
It's happened. Like, there have been creators that have come along and done better than the originator of, like, the character, but it doesn't happen too often. And, yeah, if you'll notice, like, all the best Marvel and DC characters were created, I don't know, before when? Before the 80s, when independent publishing was big, and it was easier for guys to own their own shit. Because, like, yeah. Okay.
I was going to say, because Batman, I was reading the original ones written by Bob Kane, and he was actually very dark, and he's essentially what Chris Nolan is bringing him back to be now. And then you have all these other writers, like for the 60s show and Joel Schumacher, and they destroyed the character.
Okay. I enjoyed the Adam West series as a comedy. It's like, okay, this is funny. I don't know if
kind of taking the piss out of it, not taking yourself too seriously.
Yeah, because I'm not a big mega fan of Batman, I really didn't mind that. Like, if they did that with Superman, I'd be offended. Because, like, Superman...
Oh, then again... Yeah. I just thought, Alan Moore wrote the character better than the original creator did.
Perfect example. And Grant Morrison, I would say, is writing him better right now.
I read the Arkham Asylum thing last night. Scared the shit out of me. I think it was just the way the Joker was drawn or something.
Oh, that. And they made Two-Face so pathetic.
I didn't get up to the...
Oh, let me shut up now. Then, oh, never mind. Oh, it's really good. Yeah, you'll enjoy all of that that you haven't read. Yeah, creators are smart enough generally now to be like, I am not creating any... If I'm going to create anything like, oh, Hellboy, I'm going to do it for an independent company because I don't need Marvel and DC owning this and fucking me out of, like, you know, tons of money if they ever make a movie or something. So
they're like producers for a TV series or something.
I mean, yeah, but you know who loses out on that, though, is... See, if they would just be a little more fair to the creators, then the creators wouldn't be so afraid to create new characters for the big companies, and the big companies wouldn't keep recycling the exact same characters and stories over and over and over. I mean, what are they doing now? Hey, everybody's a Skrull, and it's like, oh, that's it, huh? That's all you got?
I think there will come a time when comics will go out of fashion again, and it'll be simply because Marvel and DC just don't know what they're doing.
This is why in the real world of bookstores, where they sell in the millions instead of the thousands, kids are reading, like, manga and stuff, because...
Ugh.
Oh, you're not a manga? That's interesting. I didn't know you were
I hate manga, I hate anime, it's just, it's so weird and childish, and no matter how violent they make it, it's just weird.
You just made Trekkie and Starhawk so happy when you said that just now. I thought that was a guy thing, like guys, especially like, guys who were actually adults, hated manga and anime because it's not the traditional comics and cartoons they're used to. Now here you are, you're telling me.
I've got a friend who's my age and she is obsessed with anime and manga, and she's obsessed with the Japanese culture and acts like she's Asian, and it's creepy. I try not to have a problem with it, but I'm gonna be honest.
She acts like she's Asian? Go up to people, "Hello, mister."
She starts speaking Japanese to me. I'm like, what the fuck?
That's a really hard language to learn. I gotta give her some credit. Sorry.
I mean, I like the German culture, but I don't take it to that extent.
Oh, by the way, I have to ask you, do you know how to curse people out in German yet?
Oh, damn it.
The reason I ask you is because Starhawk, at the time of this recording, just commented on this podcast X blog that we here at the Bureau are monitoring. And, he said, well, I went to that site and I didn't see any Zatanna. All I saw was some man dressed up as a woman dressed up like the Joker. And then he says...
Oh, yeah, I'm dressed up like the Joker.
He says, any 16-year-old boy can sound like a 16-year-old girl. So he won't let up.
Well, people do confuse me. So people sometimes do confuse my voice for my brother's voice.
So, Jordan, why are you pretending to be Courtney? By the way, you're doing a good job. I can't tell the difference.
Fuck! He knows!
Anyway. Hey, by the way...
Getting back to the comic, let's see. Lots of shading. You know, if I messed up a drawing, I'd just make it really, really dark like this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what all this... He's unafraid to splatter a lot of black on the page. We have backstory. This dude here is...
So Tom Manning is talking about... See, I know your employees, so...
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Yes. He's talking about what we saw on the last scene, the Nazi Einstein.
I like the idea of a Nazi. Yeah, it's Nazi Einstein.
They created the atomic bomb or something like that. No, they gave Hitler the atomic bomb, and then he was assassinated.
Oh, yeah, he was close to giving Hitler the bomb. I mean, because if the Nazis had the bomb, there never would have been a war. everybody would be afraid to, you know, fuck with the Nazis. It's like, oh, you have the bomb? Okay, take over whatever country you want. We're fine.
Could you imagine a future where Nazis had taken over?
There have been so many alternate future stories.
Oh, I just remembered, yeah, in Justice League.
Oh, yeah. Was that the one with Vandal Savage?
Yeah.
That was good. I like that one. Anyway. Oh, yeah.
So,
we watch cartoons here at the Bureau also. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, that guy, the Nazi Einstein, gets blown up, but like he was working on some kind of a project. And that's what we saw early on in the story was the Nazis working on that project and being blown up by Lobster Johnson, who my employee here is explaining to Hellboy and Roger, the homunculus, that Lobster Johnson... What's up with, like, the handle and door thing he has, like, welded onto his groin? What is that?
Oh, I have often thought about that thing and what it is for. I think that he has, like, his pee-pee behind that, and so when he needs to go to the bathroom, he just opens it up, and there it is.
Huh. Well, that's very convenient. Okay. They're telling them that the Lobster Johnson is made up. He doesn't exist, which is, of course, bullshit. Hey, I like these mob names here. Vinny the String, Skinny Joe Lincoln. What's this
Zuko
one?
Banana!
That's the best one. Yeah. All these gangsters were killed by Lobster Johnson because, of course, they had the claw burned into their forehead. And Hellboy's saying this, and the dude's like, there's no Lobster Johnson! Shut up! Anyway, moving on.
Oh my god, he didn't say crap until the second page.
He says that a lot.
Yeah. Apparently Mike Mignola bases his dialogue on his own.
And there's no cursing in these books, these Hellboy books.
Other than crap, yeah, not really.
Hmm. Okay. Oh, look, there's like... That's right, because they sent that guy in the gas mask up into space before Lobster Johnson blew up the castle. And now, apparently, the space capsule... Oh, go ahead.
He's come back.
Yeah, okay.
In a way. But we'll learn that later on.
Yeah. Oh, look, we have a hot Nazi chick.
You know what? I'm not sure how I feel about the way Mike Mignola draws girls, because sometimes they look okay, but other times they kind of look pretty gross.
Well, this girl, I mean, we know what happens to her later in the story. In fact, they haven't even revealed she's a Nazi yet. But I don't know, this chick looks hot.
Right there, yeah, with the close-up, but then you get to the next page and she's standing with Roger and you're like, is that a dude?
Good point. If not for the tits, we would assume that was a dude. Some artists' styles, like Jack Kirby's, for example, and Steve Ditko, and even though they're two of my favorite artists ever, like Mignola, I think some artists' styles just don't allow for drawing hot chicks.
Because he's good at drawing monsters and stuff, so I think when it comes to drawing things with delicate features, it's hard.
Yeah, I'm looking at Roger here, and he's like naked except for like a vest. And I'm thinking...
Is he just hanging out? I don't want to know.
I guess it is, actually. And I'm like, okay, dude, I know you're, like, all covered up with, like, a box with a handle there, but wear pants, please.
You know what? I can't believe I don't know what a homunculus is.
Ah, for once I know something you don't know. Okay, so...
I'm scared.
You should be. Back in the Dark Ages, it was, like, legend had it that alchemists would create artificial life in homunculus form. That's what it was. It would be, like, an artificial humanoid that, like, would be able to do things humans couldn't. But of course, they were, like, soulless monsters. And, yeah, well, like Roger here. He's basically, like, that's probably the origin of the Frankenstein story. The whole idea of, so it is kind of cool. And so, yeah, Roger's just, he's a Frankenstein. With a box handle groin. But okay.
You know, I just thought of an artist who's good at drawing girls, and that's Bruce Timm, because he has a very simplistic style.
Yeah, he draws some sexy bitches, I have to agree.
Then he tends to make the face the same.
Oh, that's okay. I can forgive. I can forgive him for that.
I have, because I draw kind of like him. I figured out ways that he could make some variation on their faces, but he never did. Asshole.
Well, you're one step ahead of him then. A lot of artists. That's true too. That you have guys that are otherwise really good artists, like John Buscema, but they have like one stock male and or female face. And if you took away, like, characters' hair and clothes, they would all look the same.
Because I'm looking at Tom and Roger and Hellboy on that last panel, and they've definitely got very different faces.
It helps that Hellboy and Roger are very unique-looking. But he looks like the smoking man from X-Files here in that panel. And you know what? I don't buy who? You don't watch X-Files? Or didn't? Because, like, you know.
It's been years.
Sorry?
It's been years.
Oh, okay. Actually, it has. Yeah, it has been.
I'm only 16.
Yeah, so I can't say stuff like, hey, remember that episode of Speed Racer when... Yeah, okay. I'm still shocked that you don't like manga and anime. It's like, wow. Because all the hype on the internet is that girls, especially young girls, love that shit.
I know, and there's a lot of them. When I was little, and I couldn't tell the difference between anime and an American cartoon, I was like, oh yeah, it's a cartoon, let's watch it. Yeah, I liked Pokemon and Sonic the Hedgehog and what else?
You know what? I'll defend Pokemon, because Team Rocket always entertained me.
It's so lame now I'm looking at it.
No, it's funny that they were both evil and incompetent. Like, that equals humor.
Team Rocket is blasting off again and again and again. Oh, God, make it stop. I watched Death Note, the live-action movie. That wasn't too bad.
Oh, good. Yeah, I've got that on my hard drive. I mean, we here at the Bureau have that in our library of video. I gotta watch that someday. Where am I? Oh, they're giving me...
the Japanese version of the eye.
Sorry?
The Japanese version of the eye.
That I did not see. I saw a clip of it on TV, but I didn't... you know what, though? The original version of anything is almost always, like, better than... Especially when there's a Japanese version. Okay, you know what I'm thinking of? Ringu was creepy and fucking disturbing and brilliant. And that American version with Naomi Watts was a piece of shit.
I think it's just, yeah, the Japanese, even their cartoons. Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw Spirited Away. Even their children's cartoons scare the crap out of you. So imagine what their horror movies are like.
Well, yeah, and that's a good... there's one called Mermaid in a Manhole that's really good. This artist discovers a mermaid in the sewer. And he takes her home to live in his bathtub. But it turns out she has a horrible wasting disease. And she starts getting these tumors all over her that erupt with different colored pus. And to honor her, he makes paintings from the pus. And it was a great romantic movie.
But pus is like yellow and when it would dry, it just turned clear.
Well, this is mermaid pus.
All right, magical.
There you go. So
I was going to say, yeah, it's like that Lady in the Water, just better.
Oh, how bad was that?
I was bored out of my mind, but I was sick at the time, so I kind of laughed at how bad it was. So anyway, this guy is all like, sometimes it's like working for the goddamn circus. And personally, sir, I think that working in a place like that would be a great job. Not the circus, but the big ID.
I see. For a second there, I thought you were calling us a circus like this guy.
No, he is a closed-minded asshole and he is probably a racist too, sir. You should fire him.
Oh, well, we've already we read this comic, this historical account of these events, and rest assured, he's been taken care of.
That's good to hear. Anyway, then Hellboy's talking in his sexy Ron Perlman voice. I mean...
Ron Perlman sexy?
His voice is... Unfortunately, he looks like Will Ferrell crossed with a gorilla. I would not say that to his face, though. I'd freaking freak out if I ever saw Ron Perlman.
Oh, he'd kick your ass if you said that to his face. He would, like, turn into Hellboy or something.
Hellboy smash!
But
oh, shit, don't bring up the Hulk thing. It's what happens on the blog stays on the blog.
Okay. All right, I will not mention that you have no desire for the Hulk because he's green, but you lust after Dr. Manhattan, who's blue.
Yeah, but he's not way too big. I mean, he's probably, you know, a few inches taller than me, but yeah, the Hulk is... probably the size of Bumblebee from Transformers.
Now, see, would you... Okay, assuming the Transformers can transform to the extent in a specialized way to, like, have sex with human females, would you have sex with a Transformer?
That's mass shifting!
Okay, what if the...
Well, I don't know,
Okay.
I do love Optimus Prime's voice. Peter Cullen has, like, that...
I had a sick thought. What if there was a Transformer who could transform?
You had a sick thought. No way!
I know. There's a first for everything. What if there was a Transformer called, like, Vibratron, and he could transform into a vibrator?
That's not as interesting.
I'm cracking myself up. F you.
A robot that is designed purely to fuck humans. That's a bit more interesting. And I hope my mom's not listening right now.
In fact, don't let anybody listen to any of these. You know what? You know what? If there was Vibratron, he would have to be a Decepticon. You're right. Because he would be part of the whole plan to take over humankind. Because you would have, like, Vibratron 1, 2, 3, there'd be a whole bunch of him. And he would, like, just take over human society by getting, like, women addicted to him.
Vibratrons could be, like, the insect... What were they? The Insecticons. Yeah, the Insecticons. So there's, like, a whole army of those.
You know, I'm not a big Transformers fan, but I know there is a, like, gorilla version of Optimus Prime called Optimus Primal, and that is fucking inspired.
Yeah, that was in the CGI piece of shit that I didn't watch. I only watched the original G1, and after the movie, I just... Yeah, they killed Optimus Prime. I it's not like I form connections with fictional characters or anything, but that was cold. I didn't cry when Optimus Prime died, or when Hellboy left the BPRD.
Or when Godzilla died, in the American version of the movie. Anyway, excuse me first. Far more unstable than I even imagined. Okay.
I love you, Transcom. Don't tell me.
Hey, this is good here, where he's like, he's revealing. Are you okay? Do you need a moment?
Just yeah, I'm good. We can keep going.
Okay.
Got tissues?
All right. He's talking about how...
You're like,
You know, I'm actually thinking this is the worst acting in Podcast X since episode 23. But,
What? Was that the snakes on the podcast one?
Yeah, or possibly episode 8, which was the second apes one. We should do a follow-up on that. Because there were 5 apes movies, but we only, like, paid homage to the first 2.
Those weren't that good.
Ooh.
It's like Aliens. You watch the first one, and that's enough.
I liked it.
Predator 2, however, was pretty good.
Which one?
Predator 2.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see all of Predator 2. I liked Aliens.
Oh, speaking of sexy aliens.
The Predator? No.
Yeah, that, like, click. Wait, I can do it. Yeah!
You know, if there were subtitles under that, it'd be saying, fuck you, Starhawk.
And now for something completely different.
Your face has gone red, discovering someone else in your bed. Baby, baby, this kind of love's bringing down this man. You've got me going between heaven and hell. The ups and downs of you's got me so I can stand up and yell.
They planted a bomb inside of Roger.
Yeah, and I love the way Hellboy reacts. Oh, wait, no, there's Abe Sapien there. Versus science!
Yeah, you love science.
Yeah.
Well, science can be used for, like, so many evil purposes.
Science, mythology, history, all very useful things for a supervillain. I mean, a BPRD employee.
You see, I thought you were trying to confuse me there, and as a mad scientist, I'd be a bit surprised if a girl blinded me with science. Two people got that, but it was worth it. Anyway, in the comic... Hey, where are we? I've lost my place.
Yeah, I went on to the next page, and then Hellboy's all like... Oh, yeah, Tom says, you know that he was fitted with an electronic generator? Yeah. Well, it was decided that something should be installed along with the generator, a sort of fail-safe device. And he's like, excuse me? An incendiary bomb just large enough to... Excuse me!
He's all...
Hellboy smash!
Actually, yeah, look at him there. I wouldn't fuck with him.
I would pee my pants at that point and just run out of the room going...
Oh, some field agent you're going to make.
I can handle demons and that ghosts and all that paranormal stuff, but it comes to Hellboy, yeah.
There is a lot to be said for self-preservation. And back...
Tom Manning has balls.
He does. Anybody who could stand up to Hellboy like that. But it's just some backstory here that when they found Roger, he was fucked up and he killed Liz Sherman. She's the one who can, like, make fire, right?
Yeah, and it looks pretty lame in the movies. I don't know. It just doesn't translate well.
You know, you were defending the movie, but from what I hear, like, they made a love story between Hellboy and Liz.
Oh, I love that part.
You know, and that's why they did it. They're like, wow, the female
movie
goers.
She's like my Mary Sue.
Okay. See, I've never read a Hellboy comic with Liz in it, so I can't even say anything about her.
This was the first... The Wake the Devil was the first Hellboy comic I ever read, and... she's... Actually, Mike doesn't even like her that much. She's a pretty average character, and he doesn't like drawing her.
But you project yourself onto her every time she's in a Hellboy comic.
Yeah, and then my imagination takes it from there.
I see. I like that they're giving, every time they talk about past shit, they tell you what book the stuff's in. I really like that.
Helpful. Also, in the next page, they make reference to the human fat monster, which is very inspired, and that was in Almost Colossus.
Apparently so, because that's what the little note's telling me. Oh, okay. Now, I know you hate Doctor Who, but...
It just scares me. I don't mind it.
The only really scary thing about Doctor Who is the theme music. But anyway, yeah, they had, fat monsters in a recent episode. People were taking diet pills, but what they really were, embryonic fat monsters that would, suck all the fat from the inside of the people who were taking them. And then, what it would do was, consume the person, and the person would just collapse into a mass of little fat monster babies. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, that's the thing. Anything that manages to scare me must be pretty good because, yeah, biological horror is one thing I can't stand, and it's in my mind for days on end.
But you love Lovecraft, and in a lot of those, people would be slowly changing into inhuman things.
See, it's the thing. If I'm afraid of something, I'll want to learn more about it, and I'll be kind of... I'll like it, but I'll be afraid of it. I'm odd.
That's the least strange thing you've said, because that's the appeal of the horror genre. It's like being on a roller coaster. Ah, this is scary. Ha ha, I want to go back on it.
Also documentaries about things that really happened. That's scariest of all, because you're like, oh god, there are parasites that do that? Ah!
Ooh, what was one documentary I saw? These idiots went to some jungle somewhere, because this wouldn't happen if they just stayed home. But, these bugs had burrowed, under their flesh, and were, breeding, just under the skin. And then, their skin would just erupt, and the bugs would come out. And I'm like, oh, that is so cool. This is cool here that, he's giving Hellboy this detonator to explode the bomb that they built into Roger. And, in case he goes off or whatever. And he's
It would be an odd thing to have the power to just kill your friend like that.
I long for this power. I would love just to be able to, push a button and kill anybody I want. I would only use it for good, meaning I would only kill people who piss me off. And I like this little panel here. I didn't even notice this the first time of the employer, looking out the window at Hellboy, Hellboy's starting to become a problem. I don't know.
No, he's looking at him and going, man, he's so sexy.
come on, I didn't get a gay vibe from him at all, but it's possible.
Sorry, I'm putting myself on all the other characters.
Oh, okay.
Also, I like the panel where he's like, you know, I'm not human either. Are you going to put a bomb in me?
Well, you know, yeah, Tom Manning has nothing to say to that, because Hellboy's got a good point. It's like, oh, you don't trust Roger because he's inhuman. Well, so am I. So, yeah.
And he walked out. That's just perfect.
This is really... Are there any other Hellboy stories that are as good as this one?
Every single one.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, okay, then. All right. Oh, well, Darkness Calls isn't as good as this. The only other one I read.
And you should buy all of them and keep the graphic novels on your shelf.
Buy. Shelf. Paper. I'm confused. Wait, I thought comics only existed in the digital medium.
Well, before the internet was and file sharing was created, They used to create comics on paper.
Dear God, why? How impractical.
Because the smell of a new comic is grand.
You know, you're joking, but actually, you know, the smell of old comics is awesome. I don't know, there's something about, like, really decades-old paper and how it decays.
Oh, yeah, there's a store near me, and they sell all these old comics. They've got boxes full of them. And, yeah, it's got a great smell.
There you go. It's a shame we have to put those into plastic, and then you can't smell them anymore. You know, why doesn't she have any hair here?
Oh, what the hell? I think he forgot something.
Hey, that's Tank Girl! So, moving on. Yeah, she's actually, the Nazi bitch is supposed to be their guide, because they don't know she's a Nazi. So, off Roger and Nazi bitch and Hellboy go. Meanwhile...
Oh, wait.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the card falling from the ceiling near Tom is really cool, because it's like the question.
Yeah, because the question has, as his calling card, a card with just a question mark on it. And apparently...
Like, it's like smoking, and then the question will appear?
Man, everything about the question is so cool. But
did you see my comment?
Yes, I did see that, because it's funny. I saw on your blog that comics page you did, and at first I'm thinking, wow, this looks like a real comics page, and then I saw that you had copied it off a real comics page. And I'm like, oh, well, no wonder then. Okay.
Have you seen the original, though?
That was from Mysterious Suspense 1, right?
Uh-huh.
Actually, yeah, 100 years ago, I did read that comic. And goddamn, was the real comic wordy as hell.
I don't like the colors. It was just so orange.
Yeah, it kind of... But then again, it was a Charlton comic, and the production values on those Charlton comics were always pretty bad. In fact, I think the printing presses they used to make the covers of those, this is not a joke, was actually originally intended to run off, like, cereal boxes. And if you have any Charlton comics, you can tell. All right, let's see here. Oh, this is nice. They're, like, on some mountainside here, going up to the castle we saw at the beginning of the story.
Whereabouts is this supposed to be?
Whereabouts? I'm assuming Germany.
Yeah.
Don't ask me where. But I didn't notice this one little thing when I first read it, which is this hawk or whatever, like, swooping down on the bunny rabbit. That's funny.
Yeah, it's carrying it off behind her as she speaks about a creature called Rubizal, who... A terrible shape-shifting giant. Sometimes a woodcutter, sometimes a donkey. He would cause snowstorms and make little girls grow beards.
Hey, check it out. Vixen's calling. What did I tell you about you? She always calls when you're on Skype. It is amazing. It's like she can tell. Hold on. Like one. Okay, Vixen. Okay, I'm talking to another woman right now, so I have to hang up on you? Yeah. So. Okay, Vixen says hi.
Hello!
She says hello. Is everything okay? Because you sound like shit. Oh, okay.
I really should say something different to her.
You should say something different. I'm sorry, it's hard to talk to two people at once. Okay, so what is it? Go ahead, 25 words or less. Okay, what's wrong?
Does she need money again?
Courtney says, do you need money again?
For the child.
for the child. Oh, the child she had with Timmy Thume?
Yeah.
Okay, Vixen says Shaquanda's fine.
So. Great name.
Just later on. I mean, I don't know, because I don't know how long this is going to take. So.
Oh, forever!
Gosh. Okay, well, Courtney says forever, and at this rate, she might be right. Okay, so this is not another how dare you give your number to another girl thing. Okay. All right then.
Where's the?
Oh, okay. So I will. You're sure everything's okay? You know all this
Dylan
is going
to
be on the
black.
Podcast. What was that, Courtney?
My younger brother wants my paint.
Yeah, this is all going to be on the air. I did because I forgot to turn the phone off. See, you're just cranky because you're PMSing. No. I did that for the air because I knew it would be funny. Okay, so I'll talk to you later. Bye. Okay.
Dylan, Jordan has it. Yeah, you're a bitch too.
Damn! Your brothers call you a bitch?
Yeah!
Okay. Wow, children really are different in Australia.
Yeah, what are kids like over there? Not that you would know anything about kids, but...
Well, if I remember correctly... No, kids really are that obnoxious here, too. I think
my impression of American children are they're selfish, obnoxious, fat, lazy pussies.
You pretty much nailed it.
I mean, over here, kind of the same, so they're not fat and lazy, and they will fuck you up.
Yeah, well, this is why kids here just carry knives and guns.
See, we don't have... we've got knives, but we don't have guns, so we have to be a little bit more resourceful.
See, that's good. That teaches homicidal kids creativity.
I know. You know, you Americans with your guns, it's like, yeah, that's all I need. Just press the trigger and there you go.
Okay,
pull the trigger.
What you're telling me is when you go into the field against these demons and monsters, you don't feel any need to carry a firearm.
Just a katana and a machete, sir.
All right. So anyway, yeah, where was I? Yeah, the Nazi bitch.
Little girls are growing beards.
I like that. I like the story of Ribazol. And that's important. Go ahead.
I think I actually wrote something about my research into Ribazol, but I can't find it. Oh, well.
Oh, you're good. You actually did research into... Yeah, I didn't know if that was...
I translated some words as well that were in here.
All I did was I went on Wikipedia and I looked up Hellboy and Conqueror Worm and that was about it. So, and Ribazol, I didn't know if that was a real myth or not. I just took it on faith.
Anyway, so they come across a hobo, possibly Christofferson, and he's all like, turn back. The way ahead is haunted.
Your hero. This is Alan Moore.
I said it's Kris Kristofferson.
Fine. Anyway, more backstory about how everybody died in the Lobster Johnson Castle incident, including Lobster Johnson. And the dude's like, Hellboy's like, how do you know? I was there. And he takes off his trench coat.
He can't contain himself. He must destroy Nazi.
He does. Hellboy sees he's wearing that swastika. Wok! And he's shouting out, Nazi!
that's just typical Mignola right there.
I like that Hellboy just beats up Nazis on principle. Like, show him a Nazi, he punches him. Nazis are great. Oh, go ahead.
How is his uniform still intact?
He hasn't worn it all these decades. Yeah, there you go.
He just put it on today because he had a feeling demon would show up.
Yes, he knew. He's very intuitive. It's like that movie Apt Pupil where Ian McKellen was like a Nazi guard and like the little kid finds out and the kid wants him to teach him to be a Nazi. And slowly McKellen takes on that Nazi identity again. And there's that scene of him taking the Nazi uniform like out of mothballs and putting it back on and staring at himself in the mirror and shit. So it's like that. In fact, maybe it's the same dude.
That's awesome. What is that movie called?
Apt Pupil. It's based on a Stephen King story, which has a better ending, but it's still a decent movie. So
Ribazol, I just remembered, is a he's part of German folklore, and he's a nymph or something. No, wait, he's a giant.
Yeah, they do. In fact, they mentioned that, and Roger's like, he just makes an aside, my brother was a giant.
Oh, that makes sense. Next, I was going, okay, he's doing random tangents like we do.
Kind of, yeah. And, excuse me, Roger has taken Hellboy away because otherwise Hellboy is going to kill the dude. But meanwhile, he leaves the dude.
The girl doesn't have hair anymore.
Not in that panel. He leaves the dude with the Nazi girl who shoots him, saying merciful.
Yeah, do you think three shots were really necessary?
Nazis are sadistic.
And resilient.
Those shots were not necessary, but they were fun for her to fire off.
And how did they not hear that?
I got nothing. You're right. They should have heard that. Because that gun does not have a silencer. Yeah, it doesn't have a silencer. They're in the mountains. It's going to echo. I got nothing.
Yeah, because the sound is clearly bap, 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 not pchew, pchew, pchew.
And in fact, you know they didn't hear it, though, somehow, because Hellboy asks, is he okay? So, yeah.
Yes, I shot him 3 times, but he should be good in a few hours.
It'd be funny. You know what? If she said she did shoot him 3 times, Hellboy would be, like, good. So.
He wouldn't give a shit.
Nope. Hey, there's
but a... then he's like, oh. Yeah, he's like, sorry about that. I have a particular problem with Nazis. Wait, he's apologizing, but you also hate... Oh, I don't know.
Nobody should ever apologize for anything. If you do something, you meant to do it. Like, he meant to punch the guy. Why apologize?
Wait, Bryan Singer directed Out of Pupil?
Oh, did he? That explains why it was so good then. Huh.
But didn't he do...
Yeah, he did Superman Returns, but he also he did Out of Pupil back before he had even done the X-Men 1 and 2.
Well, I guess, what's his name? James Cameron did Terminator, but he also did Titanic.
Weird. I know. And Sam Raimi did the Evil Dead movies, and yet he also did Spider-Man 3.
Oh, you know what? I saw those DVDs in stores, and I had to hide them. Got all of them and put them on, like, behind another shelf, and my mom's like, what the hell are you doing? It's scary. It scarred me for life. It's just, how did it get that bad? And it was the most bizarre psychological experience ever. In cinemas, you're like, I'm trying to enjoy this, but how could the first two movies be so good? And then that. Okay, the first two movies weren't good.
I like the first two. From what I know about 3, which I've avoided watching so far, yeah. Yeah, dancing, brooding, emo Peter Parker and...
She looks like Katie Lang!
Oh, ow, ooh. Oh, that's harsh. Okay.
No, that's actually implying that Tobey Maguire is manlier than he actually is. Open!
Yeah, really? Damn! Then why'd you even watch the first two if he annoys you that much?
Because he was kind of cute when he was younger, and then he got older and just got freakier.
Well, those eyes do continue to bug out of his head further and further. That much is true. And Kirsten Dunst, yeah. Oh, hey, the guy we thought was a Nazi is perfectly fine now.
Oh, so that's probably why it was appropriate to shoot him 3 times, even though it is revealed that he is Lobster Johnson.
Yeah, Lobster Johnson is just... He was just fucking with him for no real reason, but okay.
He's a sadist and wants to be shot.
Hey, you know what? If... No, then he'd be a masochist.
If
he wanted to be shot. You know what? Because he's a ghost now, and I guess the ways of ghosts cannot be understood by us mere mortals.
I think ghosts just find it funny to die over and over again.
Yeah, sure, because what do they care? There's the castle, and they're trying to get in, and they're being shot at, even though nobody should be in there.
I think he goes for trench coats like crazy.
Did he lose a trench coat? Oh, it's all, like, ripped up from the bullets. Yeah. And...
And he's apparently invincible because he's being shot at, and he's like, meh.
That was the reason What's-His-Name gave for sending Roger and Hellboy, which is that they're the most indestructible, like, dudes they could send. So, yeah, they expect, like, shit to be happening, like, is now. And Roger falls off a cliff.
And the way he's holding onto his arm really bugged me.
Would you be able to hold onto that?
We're no.
talking about Hellboy's giant metal-looking right hand.
It's stone.
Hey, maybe Roger was bitten by a radioactive spider, and he's using that power to cling to the hand. I don't know, because you're right. But he does fall. But yeah, Hellboy has, like... Well, he has gotten into the castle, so that's good.
Oh, he destroyed that gun that was shooting at him. It's an automatic one, and he's like, that's crap, as he destroys it.
We should have a crap counter for this episode. That's at least two.
And that'll be it for part two. Tune in next week for part three of this review.
Wrote at the top of this of my notes that another break song, an alternate one, could have been Tea for the Tiller Man by Cat Stevens.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I know some Cat Stevens, not that one. I know it was an album. I didn't know it was the name of a song, so I don't even know how it goes or anything or what it's about. I was gonna say
I won't
say. Okay. You won't say. Oh no. we already got you singing Xanadu for the 2 seconds, so. All right.
For the tiller man, steak for the sun, wine for the woman that make the rain come. Yeah.
Ow, wait, hold. I had to turn the volume down for a second. Okay, now my ears don't hurt anymore. However, when nobody's around, you sing great, according to you.
I think I do, because I was recording myself. I was playing around with Audacity. And I was like... Not as bad as I sounded in the podcast. Maybe it's because it's through Skype. Yeah, all blame Skype.
We all do.
The sun, wine for the woman who made the rain come. Seagulls sing your hearts away as wild sinners sin. The children play.